Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome on into a Game 7 version of Stackin' Dubs, where it was win or go home, where the Warriors had already blown two closeout game chances, and for the first time this playoffs facing elimination of their own. Heading into the game, after Game 6, you just kind of felt like this team was cooked. It was out of gas. There were no answers on offense on how you're going to score more points and just find a way to beat this Rockets team, which seemingly was clicking on offense. You know, Fred VanVleet was hitting everything, which he still shot very well. And the Warriors, outside of Steph and Jimmy, were just getting no offense. And yet the Warriors dig deep and behind one of their role players finally gets hot. Buddy for the night, Chef Buddy Hield drops 33 points with 9 threes, only 2 misses from 3. I mean, obviously the best game of his life. I don't know if he's ever had a hotter shooting night. Did his best Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Game 7 Buddy, whoever you want to reference, that's who he was tonight. Where's that 7 on his jersey? Rightfully so. Wills us to victory. First half, just when Steph didn't have it going and didn't score until the final minute and a half of the first half, Buddy had 22 points in the first half, I believe, and had 6 threes and just did everything as far as the scoring load that you would expect out of a good Steph Curry half. Buddy carried the load, didn't do too shabby on defense either, by the way, and yeah, he had 2 blocks and a steal, just throwing it out there. It was a team high. Plus 17. Actually, sorry, Draymond Green was plus 18. We'll talk about him soon. Nothing else to talk about here right now, just to start the lead, other than Buddy Hield gave the Warriors enough offense behind a phenomenal defensive team effort, again, led by Draymond Green and co. Talking about that defense, I thought what they really seem to focus on is just running the Rockets off that three-point line. You know, enough of this. They're going to cool off. Fred VanVleet's going to eventually shoot his average. Tari Eason's going to shoot his average. They're going to cool off. And the Warriors said, no, enough of this. We're going to run them off the three-point line, make them finish inside, where Draymond's going to contest everything inside. Had several very physical contests on Şengün. Maybe some of those could be called for fouls. Refs for letting them play. I like Draymond Green's rim protection, just being everywhere. In man-to-man, in zone. Draymond Green as that bottom guy in the zone had several plays where you just see, I always watch Draymond Green on defense, and you just see the anticipation. As soon as he's kind of put in that, you know, I'm guarding two guys at the same time, he just always seems to anticipate and guess right. And he's just a half step ahead of everybody on that defensive side. And it just showed, you know, the Rockets didn't step into anything easy tonight. They didn't play a great offensive game. They didn't shoot great. The Warriors, all the credit in the world, made life extremely difficult on them. So I thought, obviously, Buddy Hield player of the game, but I thought Draymond Green, this was one of the best games that Draymond's played in a while. I've seen the playoffs on both ends of the floor, had 16 points, six rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, only 1 turnover, which I thought he played a controlled game. Even the technical foul he got, whatever, you know, that's just kind of a patented Draymond reflex flail. As I'm explaining to my friends, they say he's a dirty player. I said, sure, sometimes it's kind of a dirty flail, but I don't think a lot of it is premeditated. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Obviously tonight, you know, it's just a random foul where he's just kind of getting slapped down on and just kind of flails that arm. You can just see that is his reflex. And for better or for worse, he flails 5-6 times a game when he gets contact. Most of the time, doesn't make contact with the opponent, but sometimes he does and it looks bad. And sometimes it is a dirty flail, sometimes it's not. And we don't need to talk about it any more than that. But I thought Draymond Green just locked in tonight. And, you know, for all the elimination game sevens we've seen throughout the years and just the games the Warriors have to have, I would say Draymond's shown up, you know, as well as Steph has. You know, Steph's obviously been a great player in great games, you know, had a kind of an absent first half. But, you know, the one thing you can control rather than, you know, shots going in, shots not going in big games, it's just your energy, your intensity, playing with force and just really making an impact on the defensive side of the ball, boxing out, which I thought Draymond, even though he only had 6 rebounds, I think he boxed out like a monster tonight. Second half, Rockets only had 3 offensive rebounds, and that was honestly the difference after I think the first half they had 11, but they didn't have that many second chance points, and the points they did have seemed to be just kind of pieced together, and that was really the only offense they were actually getting consistently. So I thought Draymond Green just being disruptive, and again, just being under control on offense, making good decisions, making a couple threes early, which gosh, I need to see the numbers on Draymond Green's 3-point shooting in the first 6 minutes of games versus the rest of the games, because I'm sure it's drastically different. But nevertheless, Draymond found ways to cut to the hoop. There were times at the end of that third quarter where it was getting pretty close, and the Dubs just kind of found a way to get a little bit of separation to end up eight points end of the third quarter after a couple of Draymond buckets. We'll kind of go through this in a second, but I thought that was kind of the turning point where, Draymond found ways to score, including that little floater from the middle of the lane, and then just the defense was consistent the entire night. And the Warriors played a lot of zone, forced the Rockets to, they're not a good shooting team, so play the zone, which they also tried to force us to do. And I guess on that note, you saw every time the Rockets went into the zone, there were two times when the Warriors did not have a good lineup in against the zone, and credit to the Rockets for recognizing that, going to the zone immediately. But credit to Steve Kerr for using the timeouts twice and getting out of that look, knowing that there are no wasted possessions. I thought Kerr managed a very good game tonight. When he saw Buddy Hield is in the starting lineup, I was like, okay, I guess we're sticking with it. I thought we'd see a lot of Moody, but turns out on a night where Moody didn't have it at all, I think he was what, 0 for 5 and 0 points, Buddy Hield was clearly the right choice. But that wasn't the reason that I thought Steve Kerr did a great coaching job. You could just tell every possession mattered. And again, there's a lineup of in that was it early second quarter where it was Pods, Moody, you slid JK Kuminga to the third to the three. You had Jimmy and Looney in there. And that's the lineup. Obviously, the Rockets go straight to a zone. One possession goes. Rockets get a stop, a score, immediate timeout by Kerr, get Steph Curry back in the game. Happened again. What was it? Like kind of like early fourth, Rockets. Jimmy was out of the game and getting his like 2 minutes of rest that he got the entire time. And Rockets go to a zone. Warriors didn't have a great lineup in there. Steve Kerr calls a timeout immediately. And while they didn't score directly out of it, you can just see that every possession mattered. And I thought Kerr did a great job, used his challenge well to get the out of bounds on the foul call instead. And then also like Udoka didn't use his challenge very well either. They challenged it. You can tell that he wanted to kind of retract that challenge on the out of bounds off of Van Vliet and ended up wasting that challenge as well. So I thought Kerr did a better coaching job tonight and kind of getting in and out of that zone. And they found ways to score against the Rockets zone and really did a good job against the Rockets two big lineup and posed a lot of problems for the Rockets. So great job to Kerr, but let's just kind of get through this game, kind of starting with that fourth quarter where Dubs went in with an 8-point lead hand into the fourth. And we saw what happened last game where Warriors enter a pivotal early fourth quarter and GP2, you don't get well soon because we're going to need you soon enough. And gosh, it sounds like he was really sick tonight. And hopefully he's good enough by Tuesday, but there's a chance that he's still very under the weather to start the Minnesota series, which I must say it feels very good to start talking about a new series working forward here. So just puts a smile on my face knowing that we can start fresh and there are several more games to go. That all being said, I thought the Warriors did a very good job coming out and starting quarters. They also did a great job closing quarters. Obviously, Buddy closed that first quarter with that 42-foot three, closed the half strong, closed the third strong, obviously closed the fourth strong. But back to my point is that they opened that fourth quarter, Steph Curry 5 straight points. Amen Thompson cramping the calf, and that honestly really kind of was the turning point in the game where kind of Steph gets loosened up a little bit, sees a three go down, stretches the lead to, I think it was, what was it, like 12 at that point, 13 at that point, and then the Warriors just kind of keep the gates flowing and don't really give the Rockets any more life in that game. We're just kind of waiting for it for the most part in that second half, where you know you've seen it 100 times this season, where the Warriors are up double digits, they're up 15 points, and then the defense goes through a drought, like the Warriors did mid third quarter here, where they just cannot score, and the lead gets trimmed down, which it did to, I think it got down to like 3 points. But again, the Warriors found a way to kind of dig in and just get some timely buckets. From I think Jimmy hit a three at one point. Then we talked about Dre had a couple buckets, and then Steph gets going to lead the fourth. And that was just the bit of separation that the Warriors needed to to break the drought and not let the Rockets back into it. And then kind of as the Warriors are up 10 with what, 4 or 5 minutes left, Buddy, who played great defense, causes a turnover, ends up getting out in transition. Van Vliet shoves Jimmy in the back, clear path foul, and then Jimmy knocks down both free throws, hits a little mid-range for a 4-point possession, and that was essentially the difference in the game. Once they were up 14, the game never really got close from there. Steph Curry came alive, 14 points in that fourth, and they were important, but again, the late fourth, thank God I was running out of beer. I was kind of babysitting my last beer in case I needed it for the last couple of minutes there. But Warriors, not too much, too stressful in the final few minutes, close it out. And honestly, those last few minutes will pay dividends in terms of just kind of the wear and tear on, on our players heading in and giving us a chance to compete for game one against Minnesota. I think if you play those last 3, 4 minutes, just, possession for possession, super intense, just all out, leaving everything out there. And, where Steph's playing, what was it, 46 minutes? Jimmy's playing 45, Draymond's playing 40, Bajemski played 40, Buddy played 37. Clearly Kerr only trusted those five, plus maybe Looney in that second half. You're running a thin rotation, guys are running big minutes up, and if you had to play those last 3, 4 minutes even that much more intensely, you're basically punting on game one against Minnesota. Obviously, you got to do what you got to do, but I think this gives us a chance to come into game one in Minnesota where, hey, we've been locked in playing just, dog fight games the last couple of games, and everything, the seven turnovers I really like, it just shows that the Warriors are locked in. Obviously, the defense is flowing, and while the legs might be a little heavy on Tuesday, you can tell the Warriors just kind of in a bit of a rhythm, and we're gonna have to open that bench back up a bit to kind of just disperse the minutes, get some guys, a little bit kind of more tired, so it's like mid 30 minute 30s of the minutes just so it can last this whole series. But again, important that the Warriors were able to kind of coast to a victory towards the very end here and give ourselves a chance to compete in game one and at least steal either one or two in Minnesota. Let's see. Let's kind of just go through some players here. So we talked about Draymond. I thought Jimmy was good in this one. He actually had a lot of trouble with covering Amen Thompson that first half. Amen really got going, and just kind of a couple putbacks, just kind of bullied Jimmy around a little bit. And Amen Thompson, I have to tip my hat to him because he played one heck of a game for a young player, and just extremely athletic, extremely physical, and you can, he's just kind of that. He's clearly a dog. Even from the post game interview last game at Chase Center, which I didn't care for at the time, but it's just respect. He's just kind of like asked about silence in the crowd, and he's just like, yeah, it felt good. This crowd annoys me, and I hated hearing it because like, it's okay, bro. But it's just, you can just kind of see that lock in, right? He just kind of has that chip on his shoulder. He has that kind of like hidden anger, that hidden edge that he plays with. And you pair that with his athleticism and just kind of the aggressiveness to get to the hoop, which he showed tonight. And you add a jump shot into that, as he, what is he, 22 years old, something like that. Add that jump shot in, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with soon in this league, as are the Rockets. I have to say, what was it, five of their guys are under 23 years old. all they're missing is really just a reliable 20 mid-20s score. I mean, it could be a Kevin Durant, it could be a Giannis. There's a lot of guys available, and the Rockets have pieces, they have youth, they have a lot of upside to go. Obviously, the defense is there, the coaching is there. They are going, I mean, going forward, it'd be hard to believe that the Warriors would fare better than the Rockets as soon as next year in a series. So I hope we don't run into them again and we took care of business tonight. But gosh, they gave us a run for our money. I thought Pajemski was okay in this. He didn't shoot well, but he made some winning plays. He drew a couple offensive fouls. I thought his defense was actually good. Whereas, all last game and even parts of this game, we're blitzing Van Vliet and he's chasing over the top. And, it's tough for our bigs to recover in that Van Vliet Şengün pick and roll. I thought Pajemski competed defensively and really chased over the top well enough to chase again, chase Van Vliet, chase the Rockets perimeter players off that 3-point line and just allow your defense a chance to recover and force the Rockets to make contested shots in that like 8 to 10 foot mid range, which they really just did not shoot well anywhere. Like their offense was just missing, and while Şengün kind of rattled home a couple, it just wasn't quite getting the bounces that he did for the last couple of games. And let's see here. I mean, I thought Kevon Looney, I think we all knew that come a game 7, and you're going to have to play some more center minutes against the Rockets' double big lineup, and you just for all the right reasons, you played Quinton Post as many minutes as you could handle. Obviously you just need some size, and I thought he did okay at times in this series, and just being able to space the floor and give yourselves any chance at some spacing and offense was huge. But it just he got played off the floor last game. He is just too many fouls, just unable to protect the hoop. The Rock is just a little too athletic and too quick for him. And then on top of that, he wasn't shooting very well. So I don't blame Kerr for turning away from him, especially, a rookie in game 7. It's like, duh, you knew that he was going to turn to Looney, who you trust. And Looney played 11 big minutes. I thought in the first quarter, first half, Looney was fantastic. A lot of stops on Şengün. I think the Warriors kind of figured out that Şengün play him to his left, right? He likes to kind of that little hook and kind of roll from over his right shoulder. He likes to get to his left. He likes to shoot to his right. He likes to attack to his left. And the Warriors, especially Draymond Green, who always played him well all series, then you just kind of force him to his right and then contest and make that little like jump hook difficult. Looney finally figured that out tonight, and while he struggled with Şengün earlier in the series, really seemed to kind of plant his feet in the middle of the key. Don't let him get within that 7 foot mark. Play him, shade him to the left, force him to make a tough kind of off balance shot to his right, and he didn't for the most part. So I thought Looney did a great job. He rebounded well. I think he had 4 rebounds in his limited minutes. He had a nice bucket, and then he also got to the line again. And it's just the same recipe. You're gonna have to trust Looney, and unless Post has it going, that's your only real center. We're not gonna really look too much at Minnesota yet, but I think you're gonna find much less scoring out of the center position unless Gobert just keeps dropping 28 points a game. But again, that's more about positioning and just being big. So you might see more Looney there. You might be able to get away with some posts in the next series, and obviously you're gonna see a lot of Draymond at the five because he's got a little psychological advantage on Gobert anytime you basically choke a guy out and have him submitting at midcourt. You have a little psychological edge there. So it'll be interesting to see how the Warriors handle Gobert in the next series. But my point is that Kevon Looney played huge minutes when we absolutely needed them, and just really just kind of fortified the Warriors bench unit, especially at that big position where they were losing the minutes drastically, as against the Rockets bigs and that two big lineup. So Warriors really navigated and just did just enough against that two big lineup, especially the zone. And a big part of that is, hey, when Buddy Hield is just hitting shots, going 9 of 11 from three, that's good enough to be a zone buster on anybody. But all in all, the Warriors shot 42% from three, and when that's the case and you're making 18 threes and you're playing fantastic defense, you're going to win a lot of games. And that's the Warriors team that we've seen. And when the Warriors have gone on their big runs in the season, and right after we got Jimmy Butler, yeah, the defense was there, but ultimately it came down to role players giving us some supplementary scoring. It was Pajemski getting hot kind of for a run after we got Jimmy. It was early season Buddy being hot from three. You just need that third score to really kind of shoulder the load and give you something. And on top of that, with a little bit of Draymond Green scoring, that's enough to go on a run and win some games. Little surprised you didn't see Santos in this, and a little bit surprised, but I was happy at the time to see Kuminga. I thought had to try to find some offense somewhere. I respect the decision from Kerr to try Kuminga. I also respect the decision to have a quick hook on him because I thought Kuminga's first shift was decent. He immediately comes in against that zone, gets to the rack, up fakes Adams, misses the layup, and that's just pure rust right there because he is a good finisher. Then that and played okay defense. That second shift, no good. Kind of got caught on defense out of place on one, missed a bad three, just kind of didn't really know where to be on offense and had a bad turnover. So you see why he only played 7 minutes. But I think we all would all agree that if the Warriors are going to advance, past Minnesota, past whoever you play in the next round, and if you're going to make a championship run, there has to be extra offense found. And Kuminga, while he's looked horrible ever since returning from his ankle injury, I think we all know that his upside as our third scorer is the highest. And you can get a streaky Pajemski, you can get an even streakier Buddy Hield. You get streakiness from Draymond and GP2 and some other guys, but ultimately, if you're ever going to find a guy that could score you a consistent 15, 16 points, it would be a guy like Kuminga. It's honestly, it's just not going to be there this season. And unless it is, looking at this series, it's hard to imagine the Warriors truly going on a championship run. I think the Rockets, who again, might be the best defense that was in the playoffs, exposed a lot that the Warriors kind of knew about themselves most of the season. We had hoped that we'd be able to mask it by getting Jimmy Butler and winning games, but I think we know that, outside of Jimmy getting into the line and hitting a lot of tough shots and Steph, going Batman, excuse me, not Superman, but Batman, and those two just really carrying the load, it'd be hard to win games when they're not. And yeah, I mean, you're seeing right now that it's going to take efforts like a Buddy Hield getting hot or Pajemski getting hot or just somebody else doing something crazy. And then on top of that, really good defense. It's going to be hard to win four games out of seven against teams like the Thunder, even the Nuggets, and then, a Celtics or a Cavs team that you're going to see out east. But we're looking ahead and let's just kind of stick. Look at the Timberwolves series and know that, hey, this team is beatable. I think we can defend Ant pretty well. We're kind of well equipped with wing defenders, point of attack defenders, and Draymond's the type of guy that could contest at the rim, and him and Jimmy, in help defense are going to play Ant very well. I think that the Warriors are going to have a good game plan for the Wolves, who can be a little bit one-dimensional on offense. They know what I know, and that you have to force Julius Randle to his right, to his offhand. No team does it better than the Warriors to force a guy to their offhand, like they did to like Jaylen Brown and Tatum in the finals several years ago. They're going to play Julius Randle, who has struggled against the Warriors, albeit earlier in the season, and he's playing a lot better now. But I think the Warriors are going to have a decent time kind of containing him, containing Gobert, forcing Ant to beat them. And again, I think the Warriors are a pretty good matched up against the Wolves. But again, it's just going to depend how fresh and how much you have left in those legs. But we're going to see soon. I mean, I guess the nice thing about playing in a game seven is, hey, you got one day of travel and preparation, and you're basically just staying locked in. There's no time to rest. They'll be off their feet a little bit tomorrow, but they're honestly probably, getting their ice in right now, and then they're off on a flight to Minnesota, where they're just going to have a crash course to study for Minnesota, who they handled well throughout the season. And then you're right into it without skipping a beat. And again, hopefully the legs hold up, but you stay in that same rhythm. Whew. All right, well, we live to fight another good day, guys. I was dreading having to come on here and kind of give you my end of season notes, but we keep on fighting on. You guys, it was a fun one. What a series. I hope you enjoyed it. And let's just hope that, hey, we come out and can steal one in Minnesota and then get back home for a bit and go from there. All right, you guys, enjoy it. I've been Chris Chin. Don't forget, hit like, hit subscribe, follow me, help me out, help this channel out. Let's get some more momentum. And until next time, I will see you from Minnesota. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.